Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. If you're new to our channel, subscribe, drop this video. Let's have a light target of big week for Villa. Big week. Let's go 600 likes. Let's smash the likes on this video. Let's start this week off like we mean to go on and just drop your thoughts in the comment section down below. Everyone seems to like the debrief a little bit more in depth. So we've seen the sort of raw emotion of things from a game, and now we'll sit down and have a look at how that game unfolded. So I know Justin's finished off his Lem Sip. So Justin's back. Hannah's back as well. So Hannah, we'll go with your thoughts first. What did you make of being at B6 on Saturday?
It was a lovely afternoon again. We're being spoiled, aren't we? The last six home games now, we've had some brilliant results. So I think going into the game, I was nervous given the weight that was on our shoulders. I think everyone kind of agreed that it was a must win if we were to be even in the conversation at all for a European place this season. So it was a bit of a nervy one, but I think, you know, those early goals this season since Unai Emery came in are really, really what I think is changing the Aston Villa approach. You know, before we were always like super, super worried about us conceding early on, particularly at home. And we've kind of flipped that on its head. So it's super nice that we're now the team that seems to be getting on the front foot early. And from then on, it was a really, really good first half performance. I thought it was probably, again, some of the best I've seen us play all season in terms of just total dominance, control of the game, individual performances. Luke and Justin, you've already kind of gushed over John McGinn, which, you know, I was doing in the stands. Absolutely.
I'll tell you what. With it. Stay tuned because we got some John McGinn content coming right up.
Brilliant. The thing with John McGinn is for the last however many seasons, I've always wanted his name on the back of my shirt, but I'm too scared to do it because I feel like when I do, he's going to leave. So I won't do it, but, you know, he's one of my favourites. So to see him kind of back in that form, captain with pride, it was just amazing. To be fair, front to back, I thought we were just really comfortable. In that first half, we really limited Spurs. I didn't have any chances, did they, apart from whatever was offside, which seemed to be everything. So at half time, I was actually a bit disappointed we were only at 1-0 because you're never safe, are you? But again, we came out second half equally confident, looked like we were really hungry for that second goal. We went and got it in great style. Again, just before we were about to take that set piece, I thought, we really just don't score many of these, do we? I feel like the last one was the Luka Dean one in one of Unai Emery's first games, or the first game. So to get that second, we were comfortable then. It's a shame about, obviously, the penalty. It is what it is. But the biggest thing was the 3 points. And we did it in style again. Annoyingly, again, watching Match of the Day this morning, I was thinking, oh, yeah, Villa highlights. And, you know, I can get some more Villa content. And then they just brush over the fact that we've won at home again and just talk about the fact that we catch everyone offside, which I was a bit disappointed about. But I think if you're a Villa fan, you know what it means at the minute. You know how good we are. And I think it's just good to still feel with 2 games to go that we've got it all to play for. You know, we're not on the beach. We've got the most exciting end to a season we've had in so long. So I think this weekend's result just puts a bit more pep in our step after a couple of losses on the bounce. And yeah, I am very happy, very happy. We did it in the sunshine as well. Can't get any better.
It's better than it. I know at the start of the game, when me and Ryan was in the whole tent, I was like, oh, Ryan, there's like some boxes over there. I think there's got like streamers or something that you got to throw in. And then I was just messing about saying, I'd just rather some screamers go in, let alone streamers going off before the game. And Dougie Louise just hits that literally screamer. So yeah, that was fantastic. But yeah, it was just a great performance in the sunshine, wasn't it? I absolutely loved being at Villa on Saturday. For some reason, I just can't get McGinn out of my head. Like, I woke up Sunday and I was like, all I thought about was McGinn all day, thinking he was that good, like sensational, like it, you know. And like I said in the player ratings, it's not only like what he was doing on the ball, it's off it, it's his whole demeanor in that game was just fantastic. And hopefully for these next two games, like that's just his base level, like hopefully he's gonna motor on again. So Justin, you know, how are you feeling like a couple of days after?
Yeah, I'm still chuffed a bit, you know. It's been an incredible ride, hasn't it, since Unai Emery come in, beyond even my wildest dreams. We know how much I think we're going to do, win every game and, you know, win the league and all these daft things I come out with. But I just can't believe where we are. I'm absolutely over the moon with the season we've had overall. And even the Gerrard thing, you know, however disappointing that was, if that hadn't have happened, we wouldn't have got Unai Emery. You know, that things happen for a reason in football, and it just happened that, you know, Emery was touted for Newcastle at the start of the season. He didn't want to leave his club, so it wasn't the right time for him to jump ship. But when our job came available, for whatever reason, that was the time that he felt was right, and Villa was the club that he felt was the right fit for him. And boy, was he right. Boy, was he right. And Christ almighty, I'm so glad he chose us to come back to England and try and sort of right the wrongs of the Arsenal job he had. Whatever happens now, two games left, I'm over the moon. I'm happy. You know, we've excelled, you know, even my, you know, what I wanted out of this season. So, phenomenal performance, two games to go. God knows what this team can achieve going forward, but you know, as Villa fans, we should just be very, very grateful for what we've got, grateful for where we are, and so excited for the future. And it's been a very, very long time since I was feeling like I do now about the club and the manager, the owners, the fans, the stadium. You know, everything. These kind of times don't happen very often. They really don't. So we just got to embrace everything that comes our way now for the next few seasons.
Yeah, and Hannah, you make a great point as well about Match of the Day. And we had a comment in the comment section, I think it was for the player rating, and the comment was something, sorry if I can't remember your name who commented, but they said something like, "Luke, what's your opinion on like Match of the Day's analysis of Villa?" And I was just like, I don't watch it. Like, I literally do not watch Match of the Day. I do not watch commentators and presenters before the games. I just don't watch it. So, you know, my answer to that is there are so many good content creators for every single football club across the league, League One, Championship, whatever you want to get your teeth into. Go and watch their videos on their teams. Find some ones that you really like watching. You know, there's, you know, so many, and listen to what their viewpoints are on their team, because that's what I do. As soon as I watch sort of like a Brentford against whoever, I'll go to a Brentford podcast, listen to what their thoughts are. And that's where I get all my knowledge for on these teams. It's nothing to do with these top bias presenters and pundits, because one, they don't watch Villa enough to comment on them in the first place. And two, there's just always a bias to the top six clubs anyway. So why would you want to consume that like knowledge that they're trying to give you? Because it doesn't exist. It's just fake stuff. Like the stuff about that we're just playing teams offside. No, that's skillful. Like, I'll start the stats now and show you like how well we are defending. It is a little bit blurry, but at the bottom, you've got XG conceded. And at the side here, you've got goals conceded. Now, at the very bottom, you've got Leeds United. So they're conceding the most chances and conceding the most goals. Aston Villa are at the very top, near enough next to Manchester City. So that just highlights in this graphic how well Aston Villa are defending in matches. So we're not conceding that many chances, and we're not conceding that many goals. So this is the level of data and stuff that you want to be consuming, not just some pundits that's just saying, oh, yeah, that we're just trying to play teams offside. Like, what's that all about? So, honestly, watch content creators because they know their clubs a lot better than a lot of these so-called experts. So, Ryan, what did you make of the high line? Because that is a bit of a talking point. I think we saw against Manchester United, they exploited it the best I've seen some teams do, whereas Spurs couldn't get anywhere near it, could they?
No, they couldn't. I thought yesterday we executed it incredibly well. Incredible it was. It was great to watch. We really, really pushed Spurs right back into their own half and didn't let them in, did we? We looked at it in the predicted lineup. We highlighted Kane's position, Son's position, Richarlison and them dangers, and we just like pushed them as far away from our goal as we possibly could. And it's a very skillful thing to do. It takes an awful lot of concentration. It takes a lot of bravery to do it. And I just think Emery's just given that confidence in their own ability to go out there on a match day and execute it. You know, you look at the one right at the death, wasn't it, when Son went through and he put the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, that's what was that, like the 90th, 6 minute? And, you know, even after you conceded, you're a little bit nervy going into them final few minutes, but you're still sticking to the plan. You're still executing that offside trap. And it was the difference, wasn't it? It was the difference between us winning the game yesterday and drawing or even losing. There was a stat knocking around, wasn't there? Like, I think it was like we've caught teams offside 92 times. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 27 times more than any other club has. And it's part of our tactic. It's part of our plan. You know, it's not just happening. It's not just like bad strikers, goal hanging or whatever, or getting themselves caught offside. We're setting the traps and we're executing it. And an awfully good tactic. But I tell you what annoyed me yesterday. Like, I think it annoyed most of the stadium. Like,
I know what you're going to say.
The linesman. Like, for me now, right, next season, just take the power of them calling an offside. Just take it away from them because it's absolutely pointless. And yesterday, it was infuriating. Like, they're going through, blatantly offside. You play on. I think they hit the post on the one and it played on and played on. And then the flag went up. And like the boos just rang out, and it happened time and time again. The refereeing, the standard. Like, went for a point in the whole tweet after the game. First thing I did, tweet about John McGinn's performance. That was my first tweet, and the second tweet was the 18. He just stank of like protect the brand. I put on my tweet. It's like protect that big six. Give them as much as you can. Like, give Kane as much as you can. The penalty decision. The free kicks they were getting, it stunk the place out, and it left a sour taste in my mouth.
Just quickly. Sorry, Rod. Just quickly on that point on the linesman. The other issue that will arise from playing on when there's a blatant offside is the amount of time that they're playing on from that blatant offside to let that phase of play out, and then put the flag up. If that happens four or five times a half, which it is, that's potentially 3-4 minutes of wasted time, which never gets added on as well. You know, all because they have to continue the phase of play. I think blatant, when a linesman is 100% sure, when it's a ridiculous, he's definitely offside. If he's not, and they will know instantly, when that ball goes over, they will know instantly, oh, that's tight, I think it's off. That's how I would think. I think that's off, but it's very tight. So I'll let it go because I'm not 100% sure. But when they are 100% sure, when it's 2 yards offside, like at least Son was at least 2 yards offside two or three times in that game. When it's 100%, just stick your flag up. Yeah. What is the point of carrying on?
Someone is going to get injured. Someone's going to get seriously injured. Yeah, because if Kane goes through, right, takes it round Martinez, the collide or something, and one of them's injured. That's what I think it's going to take, something like that, a bad injury to one of the players, a goalkeeper or whatever, for it to be reviewed. But I seriously think it needs to be looked at in the summer because it's like You're going to give someone a heart attack. You're going to give me a heart attack because I'm in that crowd, like going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then, like, you know, you're waiting for that flag to go off because you're backing your own opinion and it's not coming up. And it's like, ah, oh, it's just, it's infuriating when it's like having a couple of minutes has surpassed.
The thing when you're playing against like a team like the so-called Big Six, and what I got when I was watching that one incident yesterday, or on Saturday, sorry, when Son went through, didn't he? And he was offside. He looked offside from where I was sat. Right, he played on, hit the post, get your flag up, right? You know he's offside. Get your flag up. And it's like, nah, but like, let's just go on because something might go in. Like, it just literally felt like that. It just felt like we were just like waiting for them to score. And it just does my head in. Like you guys are saying, it's just absolutely infuriating at times. And especially when you're seeing the ones where like he's a yard off anyway, and you're just like, what are you doing? Like, it's just ridiculous and so frustrating. So, but yeah, on the high line, I think Emery's sort of playing VAR, isn't he? I think because he knows that if he's got this really high line and we play really, really well, that even if they do go through and score, VAR is going to slightly check it anyway. And they've only got to be like a minuscule off. And it's gone anyway. So I think his tactic on this high line is fantastic. And, you know, what are we like, 30 offsides more than anybody else? So it's clearly like working really, really well. So, so we'll have a little look at some of the stats from the game as well and what went on then. So as you can see, Aston Villa are at the top, Spurs are at the bottom. So that dominant in that first half. Look at that spell in that first half. It's like so dominant. I think, was it some opt or something put out like that it was an ebbing and a flowing game? And I'm like, it never ebbed or flowed in the first half. What are you watching? You were watching like Spurs have like a little spell in the second half where they're just weren't even doing anything, were they? They're just having a bit of possession and like, if that's what an ebbing and flowing game is, then, oh, my God. So you can see, but the shots by XG, Villa at the top, Spurs at the bottom. You've got the shot map as well, heavy for Villa. Villa's danger creation came down the left-hand side, went down there centrally as well. And Spurs' was pretty much, look at that, that's where their danger creation was coming. And that's sort of like in their like defensive area. We touched on the average positions in the match preview. Aston Villa's passing network, Spurs' passing network. This is their passing network as well. And Ryan, I know you're big on this. Do you want to have a little chat about this?
Well, it's just as I was saying with the high line there, looking at that network. Who's in their own half there? Poro and Son, the only players in Villa's half. So that just, you know, that just backs up my comment about what I've seen about the high line. We pushed them back. We knew they'd go wide. We knew Kane would drop deep and try and pick the balls up there. And we just nullified them, didn't we? Nullified them. And we got in behind Poro, like we said, on the predicted lineup that we wanted to do. Moreno was getting joy down there. So played out perfectly.
Yeah, definitely did. So one player for me who really, really stood out, like I've said, I've gone on about him quite a lot of times, but I felt like in this episode, we needed a bit of a McGinn montage. So I'm going to show you my little McGinn montage that I've created. Winning the ball off Harry Kane. He's done Son. He's done Højbjerg. He's also done Højbjerg again. Again, he's done another one. I think that's Son when he barged him off the ball. He then went on to take the ball off another defender. Picked up the ball in the middle of the park, absolutely ran rings around Richarlison all game. That's Son on the floor again. Again, McGinn running rings around somebody. Harry Kane on his face. So, yeah, I mean,
eating grass, mate, eating grass.
The last couple of minutes, McGinn, last man tracking back, winning the ball, and then another last-ditch tackle in the box. So, oh, yeah, absolutely fantastic from John McGinn, and I just felt like we need to We needed a bit of context just for the, you know, for the media world to see.
I just hope that when this episode's released, that people will just hear the music that you've been playing in my ear. Because if not, it's this little montage going to look really weird.
The clown soundtrack.
I just,
yeah, I'm sorry, I'm crying here. You know,
I just felt like that music just suited Spurs defending. Right, let's be more professional.
Do some serious analysis here. Come on.
As you can see, McGinn was.
I'll just mute myself.
McGinn was top quality. Oh my days. Right, Hannah. How are you feeling about this week ahead?
I'll step in here because you're giggling like school kids. Well, if it's anything like this weekend, I'm hoping we'll be giggling the same this time next week. I think it's a big week, isn't it? Liverpool playing today, yet to see the outcome of that game, but it's a big one. Not too sure how we're going to come out of that. You're kind of looking at the next two thinking we probably need 4 points. So it's a tricky one, but I think that performance again against Spurs would have given confidence. If John McGinn watches this and he sees how much we've just taken the piss out of his turns and tricks in midfield, he's going to be absolutely raring to go for the next game. And that's the vibe you get from the team, isn't it? That they're all looking forward to the next game, the next challenge. Douglas Luiz, after the Spurs game, saying, you know, it's a dream. You know, they're clearly all very passionate about it. And just touching on the high line again, like, look how much sort of the back four celebrate when they catch someone offside. They're all high-fiving, they're hugging each other, they're so pumped about it. So I do think it's just the last two games is all... It's not just tactics. Obviously, Emery's got the tactics covered. No, I'm not worried about that. But I think the thing that's really going to drive us through now is this passion and this desire. And I think this team have it in abundance, to be honest. We've had a couple of losses, I know that, but they're against two sides that are incredibly tough to beat at home. We've now got a trip to Anfield and a game at home. And I think that game at home is going to be so important. I'm very much distracted by Justin's smirk. But I do think that going into Liverpool, obviously, we don't really know what Liverpool team we're going to get. And obviously, when we do a proper preview, then we'll go into it a bit more. But they are beatable. So I think Emery will be telling them this week, right, we've got two games to go. Literally, guys, all you've got to do is give your absolute all for the next 180 minutes or whatever it is of football that you've got this season. You're playing for your shirt next season. It's so important, isn't it? When did we last have so much riding on two games other than when we were going down or coming up, you know? So I just think, again, take so much strength and passion and desire from that home performance, like we have the last five home games, and take that forward. And you just feel like maybe we can do something, and the hope stays alive.
Yes, and with Brighton beating Arsenal, it looks very difficult now to get sixth place or fifth. I mean, I think that was a stretch anyway. So I really think we can do seventh. I think Spurs against Brentford is a really difficult game. I think that is a tough game for Spurs. Villa, I think, could really do with getting a point. I think that would be like a fantastic result. And then knowing that, one, we go into the Brighton game ahead of Spurs. And I really think that Leeds do Spurs last day, because I think Leeds need to stay up. So I think there'll be something on that. So if we can get our noses in front or just by a point or three, then going into that last day, we've already got something that we've got to sort of like keep hold of. And then, you know, you take it into that last day. If Brighton have already potentially got Europa League, then we don't know what they're going to do. Do you know what I mean? So I think I just hope that we can go into that last game with still a chance. And I think that would be like really, really a fantastic ending to the season. And so I'll go with Justin. What's your thoughts then on the European picture?
I've composed myself now, I'm all right. My thoughts are we're still in the hunt. We're still massively in the hunt. We always knew we'd have to beat Brighton to qualify for anything anyway, so nothing's changed there. I think that Brentford result yesterday is probably massive, making sure they won that game against West Ham, which has meant they've still got a little bit to play for, which means they're going to go to Spurs trying to win the game. You know, they're in a very similar position to us.
Yeah, got sorry to put down, in. So if they beat Spurs, they too are sort of back in the picture a little bit. I know they've got Man City last game.
Yeah, they are.
They're still in the mix as well.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. They're going to go to Spurs thinking, you know, it's a very long shot for them. But, you know, they beat Spurs. They're still in the race for something and maybe, you know, a miracle end to the season. But it doesn't change that we've still got to beat, regardless of results next weekend, we have still got to beat Brighton. So if they beat Spurs, us beating Brighton keeps us above them anyway. So it's irrelevant, really. But what it does is it gives us a better chance on that last day. Yeah, we've got to match Spurs or better their result next weekend to mean that we've got to go into the last game to win it to basically guarantee Europe. So I can see Brentford getting something at Tottenham. I really can.
Me too.
And I can also see us getting something at Liverpool. Now, if that's two draws, then that means we go into the last game or seven to win. I agree with you. I think Leeds will probably win that last game of the season when push comes to shove. So two games to go, we've got a chance to get into Europe. If you'd have offered me that when we kicked off in August, I'd have snatched your hands off. So I'm all over it. And we know we can beat anyone in our day. So I'm going to Anfield on Saturday with my hopes very high.
Yeah. I know we'll go quite in depth on the tactical side against Liverpool. We have got a big one coming out as well on Wednesday, which I'm really excited about. So that's going to be a great episode. But yeah, I think it's back on. It's still all to play for. And I think, yeah, we've just got to go to Liverpool and play how we've been doing in games where we've been winning away, and I think we'll pose them a threat. I think they play tonight, don't they? They play Leicester, so you know, their focus is on that game and not us at the minute, where we know that Emery's probably been dialed into his laptop from about 5:30 on Saturday. So, you know, he'll be picking Trent's position apart, won't he, on how to exploit Trent and you know, that area in the pitch. So yeah, I think it's been a great debrief. It's been a funny debrief. I guess the funniest episode we've ever done. But just cheers everyone that's been watching us. Support the channel, subscribe, drop your comments, and we'll speak to you in the week with all our normal content.
Up the Think you should play the music out, Luke?
Oh, why not? What the villa?